Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together from the Song of Mary, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Our soul shall magnify the Lord, in God the Savior we rejoice. While we repeat the virgin song, may the same Spirit tune our voice, may the same Spirit tune our voice, the Song of Mary, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening hour you can find again in the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, starting at verse 13 through 20. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 13. But before we will read the 12th article of our undoubted Christian faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful, gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, for the second time today, on this day when we may specially set aside to meditate on the wonders that thou hast done, that thou hast given thy only begotten Son, and that that precious Savior was born in Bethlehem in a manger, that the Word became flesh, that Jesus Christ was born in the flesh, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Lord, we have also confessed it as we heard, but you also heard from thy precious word of how the angels sang glory to God in the highest. And Lord, thou knowest how it is that we have gathered in this evening in thy house, how it is in our hearts. And we will also reflect whether we also know the life of those shepherds who heard the glad tidings, the good news, and how they responded by thy grace. And Lord, we have also heard then in this morning, but also for many of us many times, the glad tidings, the gospel. Is also a time to examine ourselves tonight on Christmas. What have we done? What has been the response? What is the effect in our hearts? Do we know the life as we considered, as we heard and will consider of the life of the shepherds? O Lord, we beg thee that thou would gather with us tonight then and convict of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because we believe not in that only name. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would then shoot out arrows, and that sinners that are comfortably lost have a historical knowledge, know the truth, and yet there's never been an urgency. They are not like the shepherds who said, let us now go and see, and who came with haste, seeking, but also finding, and having that joy in that child that was given. O Lord, we beg thee, we're guilty against the law, but we're also guilty against the gospel. O wilt thou take away then all what we tried to hide behind, and that sinners who are yet lost, finding excuses in themselves, trying to hide themselves with different fig leaves, that they may all be stripped away and become lost and guilty. But Lord, remember also thy dear people, whom thou hast given life. And Lord, we pray that they may hear of that life, that they work by the Holy Spirit, and that thy Spirit may testify with their spirit that they belong unto thee, that they may also be broken and humbled to the dust. But Lord, also may that child, that precious child, some of his beauties be seen tonight also through thy precious word. O Lord, we beg thee then come among us with that irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Work among us. Give a good hour in thy favor, and may we go home and say it was good to be in the Lord's house because the Lord was with us. O Lord, thou could righteously and justly pass us by. Lord, because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities, all our sins against thy law, but also all our sin of unbelief. And in our hearts by nature, there is only unbelief. That wicked sin of unbelief. Was we, our parents in paradise, believed the lies of Satan and instead of the word of God. And we are all children of our covenant head Adam, born totally depraved. Hearts are desperately wicked and full of unbelief. But Lord, thou also knowest thy people, how it can become even on Christmas Day when they may hear the glad tidings again, how it yet can be so cold, so quiet, so hard. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come then tonight, and that thou would give life, that thou would give by thy Spirit faith may be an exercise, and that eyes of faith may be given to see him. Reveal thyself, Lord, through thy word, for the glory of thy name, and for the comfort of sinners. O Lord, we beg thee, remember then all those who are yet on that broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction. And Lord, we have been taught it. We hear it in our homes. We hear it in thy house through thy word, and we hear it also in school. O, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would then come, shoot those arrows, and that lost sinners become lost sinners, and that sinners with unbelief, hearts cold and hard, rejecting thee, that they may also be convicted of their sin. O Lord, we beg thee, have mercy. Because of ourselves, we will only continue on that broad way, and we will perish. We need thy grace. We need thy free and sovereign grace. Lord, then translate from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Give life. Give those fruits of true repentance, but also of faith. Oh, may the angels rejoice in heaven tonight on Christmas Day that sinners are brought to repentance and that they must confess, I am sinful, I'm full of unbelief, I'm wicked, I'm evil. Have mercy upon me, O God. And Lord, we beg thee, yet through thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, may there be some food and drink for thy dear people, for those poor and needy sinners, those hungry ones. Lord, wilt thou feed them with thyself? Thou art that bread of life. May there be a crumb from the table of the Master for hungry, poor, needy sinners. Oh, may they be given that joy to see that child, and that their hearts may be inflamed with adoration, and they must speak of it to others, and that their hearts may long in their lives to live for the glory of thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that for thy name's sake and for our eternal welfare, pass us not by. Come, work mightily. And we read in thy word that there is a people who will become willing in the day of thy power. May it be tonight that hearts would break, that unwilling ones would become willing ones, dead ones made alive, hearts of stone taken away, hearts of flesh given, that there's urgency and that there's haste to seek that only Savior. And wilt thou reveal him, Lord, unto us by the work of the Holy Spirit through thy word. Open eyes, give to see not only self, but also to see who thou art through thy Son, for unrighteous, for wicked ones, for ungodly ones, for sinners. Lord, we beg thee then, there's no reason in us. We're polluted, we're sinful, we're wicked. But we ask thee, Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. Come among us, Lord. May there be much prayer, criers and sighers and beggars at thy throne of grace to open thy word, to help the sinner on the pulpit, and to bless the hearers. Lord, that thou would give them, for thy name's sake, that's life, that spiritual life, those that grace that comes from above. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And thou hast said in thy word that we may open our mouth wide unto thee, and that thou would fill it. Oh, may we then beg thee, Lord, come among us, give those blessings that no man can give us, but those blessings that come from that triune God, the Father, the Son, by the application of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we lay then before thee the whole congregation. Thou knowest all the cares, all the needs, all the questions, all the riddles, all the necessities in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we beg thee that through thy word, that it may be directed, that tonight thy word must be proclaimed according to this portion of Scripture for a blessing, to answer questions, to make self-righteous sinners lost and guilty, but also to comfort thy dear people. Lord, we beg thee then, there's no reason in us. We ask that thou would help then to keep it simple, that it may be clear, that it may be according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that the children may understand, teenagers may hear, adults, older ones. Lord, remember us all. We all have a soul. We all need thy grace. We all have that same named sinner, and we all need that same Savior, thy dear Son, whom thou hast sent. Lord, we beg and ask thee to bless thy word then here in Cortland, in our homes, in the school, that thy kingdom may come, that through thy word and the work of the Holy Spirit, sinners would be born again, and that they may become lost, and that they may become seekers, and that seekers may become finders, and those who find thee, their hearts will be filled with adoration, brokenhearted, and longing to live to thy name, to thy honor, to thy glory. Lord, again we lay before thee all the needs, all the sick and afflicted. Remember each one and all their cares and needs. Comfort the mourners, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, those who have lost sibling, a parent, a father, a mother, a relative, or a friend. Lord, thou art the God of all comfort. We are miserable comforters, but Lord, we beg thee that thou would give that only comfort in life and in death, that is only in thee, in that triune God. Lord, we pray that thy kingdom may come throughout the world. Thou hast not sent angels to preach. Thou hast sent sinful men, and it is through the foolishness of preaching that sinners will be born again, that thy people will be gathered, and that they will come from the north, from the south, and from the east, and from the west, and there'll be one flock with one shepherd, with that good shepherd, with that great shepherd who came to live in that place of his sheep, to fulfill the law, to be that righteousness that they don't have and they need, but also to make that payment with his precious blood. Lord, look upon us through him, hear us, answer us, visit us, and give those blessings, we beg and pray. Wash and cleanse us of all our many sins, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with singing from Psalter 49, all three stanzas. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. All earth to him her homage brings, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Psalter 49, all three stanzas, and the collections for this evening is for the church and for the Rehoboth Christian School Contribution Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, as I mentioned this morning, the overall theme from this morning and tonight is the birth announcement of Jesus Christ. And this morning, we had the first part. We considered the announcement proclaimed to the shepherds. And now tonight, with the Lord's help, the second part. And the theme then for this evening is the shepherd's response to the birth announcement. The shepherd's response to the birth announcement. Of three thoughts. The first is going to see. We read in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So our first thought is going to see. Second, hastening and finding. We read in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then our third thought, seeing, proclaiming, and glorifying. And then we read in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And we read also in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the shepherd's response to the birth announcement, going to see, hastening and finding, seeing, proclaiming, and glorifying. And may the Lord richly bless his word to the conviction of sin of unbelief, but also to comfort God's dear people that have that faith. And may something by the work of the Spirit also be revealed of the beauty of that child. But let's read again what those shepherds heard. Let's read again verses 10 and 11. Luke 2, 10, 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So what an incredible message. What an announcement. The angel said, I bring unto you tidings of great joy. What was the tidings of great joy? What was this great message? Remember, what did we just read? In the city of David, a Savior is born. So who is born? A Savior. Who is the Savior? Christ the Lord. For whom? Which shall be to all people, all types of people, Jews, Gentiles, rich, poor, male, female, all types of people over the whole world. He came to seek and to save the lost. What a message. God sent an angel, to tell them about the birth of his son. So the question, is he born for shepherds? Yes. Is he born for outcasts? Yes. Is he born for sinners? Yes. Is he born for rebellious wretches? Yes. Is he born for hell-worthy sinners? Yes. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In this passage, we see many verbs. And verbs are action. There's many actions that are going on in this portion in Luke 2. What actions? Well, remember, upon the birth announcement, what happened? What action? What took place in the heavens? Suddenly the heavens, we could see it, broke open. And this most beautiful, splendid choir, a choir that we have never heard ever upon this earth. The angels sang, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And then what took place? We read in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from heaven. So then we could say the heavens closed and the angels were gone. It's silence. No more singing. It's the end of that most glorious heavenly choir who sang a doxology. Glory to God in the highest. And it became silent. So in the context, what happened, children? What happened, teenagers? What happened, congregation? The Lord Jesus Christ was born. And God sent an angel to announce to the shepherds the birth of his only beloved son. And then the angels sang a beautiful song. So the messengers are gone. May we say it this way? The sermon is over. They've heard the announcement. The seed was sown. The gospel was proclaimed. The shepherds heard the glad tidings. And they were unfeignedly called by the gospel, our forefathers would say. They heard those blessed words, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So that's the shepherds. But now you and me, today on Christmas Day, we also heard. We heard the glad tidings from the word of God this morning. "Thus saith the Lord, the Lord proclaimed also to you and to me that his son was born, that he has given his only beloved son, a Savior, Christ the Lord." And through the proclamation, the outward call of the gospel, God has also unfeignedly called you, my friends. Yes. What do we read in the Canons of Dort in the Thirth and Fourth Head, Article 8? "As many as are called by the gospel are unfeignedly called." What does that mean, that word unfeignedly? "Sincerely, genuinely, truly. For God hath most earnestly and truly declared in his word what will be acceptable to him, namely, that all who are called should comply with the invitation. He, moreover, seriously promises eternal life and rest to as many as shall come to him and believe on him." The shepherds heard the glad tidings. They were unfeignedly called, sincerely called through the call of the gospel. It was proclaimed unto, but also you were this morning. But also, how many times, may I ask you, how many times have you had a Christmas? How many times have you heard the message that God has sent his only beloved son into the world to be that savior of sinners? How many times have you heard that the promised Messiah, that he is born? And are you listening, agreeing, but just continuing with your life? Just continuing with your life when you hear the greatest news for a perishing sinner? We're spiritually dead, and by nature, we will just carry on. And it's our guilt. God made you and I good, but we have ruined ourselves. We have corrupted ourselves. It's our guilt that we do not believe the message of the gospel. God unfeignedly and sincerely calls. And he also in his providence separated you and me to hear the message of the birth of his son. And God's people, they grieve because they sin against the gospel. But they also grieve because they sin against the glad tidings. They sin against the grief because they sin against the law. But they also grieve because they sin against the good news. And that for so many years, they just carried on. God unfeignedly called them, said, "Repent," proclaimed to them the way of life through his son. But they just continued on. We become guilty. We are guilty. Because we sin against the law. But my friend, have you ever become guilty because you sin against the gospel? Oh, how precious it is that the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to fulfill the law, so there's forgiveness of all the lawbreakers, all sins against the law. But also he came to also pay that sin of unbelief. My friend, how have you responded to the sincere call of the gospel, the unfeignedly sincere call of the gospel? How did the shepherds respond? How did they respond to that glad tidings that they heard, that was announced by an angel? Did they just continue on with their life? They heard the Messiah was born, that the Son of God was born, that he was on the earth. Did they just continue? The angel went away. The choir was over. Did they just continue caring for their sheep? Did they just, I say this, did they just crawl into their beds and go to sleep? Well, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Did they reject this message, this glorious message that came to them, unfeignedly called by the gospel proclaimed unto them? No, they didn't reject it. Did they believe this message? Did they respond to this message positively? Yes. How do we know that they did not reject this message? How do we know that they responded in a right way to what the Lord had spoken unto them? Their faith in the message is displayed by action. That call of the gospel came, they heard it, but it came with an effectual power into their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of the application of the Holy Spirit, there came actions. Actions in their life. And I want to ask you to lay your heart tonight beside these shepherds. Do you know something also, as we will follow them through these thoughts? How did they respond, children? What did the shepherds do? Did they just go to bed? Did we read that? That they went to sleep? And they said, we'll talk about... No, they didn't. What do we read? What did they do? What do we read in verse 15? And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They couldn't just go to sleep. Remember, it was in the middle of the night. They couldn't. They spoke to each other. They had the little communion of the saints, you could say. They spoke to each other. Brothers, let's go. Let's go see this thing. Let's go. They went. They had to go. They had to seek him. Hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel, worked faith in their heart. By the hearing the gospel, faith is worked by the power of the Holy Spirit. They believed the message that the angel had sent, that Jesus Christ the Savior was born. They believed the word of God. They believed the glad tidings that the Lord had brought unto them through the angel. Because they said in verse 15 at the end, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Congregation, the angel was sent from God to bring the glad tidings to these shepherds, to these sinful men. And by God's grace, these men received this glad tidings. They received it. And they believed in it. They believed in that message of the child that he was born. They believed in that Savior. They believed in Christ the Lord. The angels brought this message, but it came from God. You also receive the message, not from angels. You receive it from sinful men, but it's from God. God sends it to you. God sends his word. The gospel is preached unto you from God, the Almighty God, through sinful men. Through the foolishness of preaching, God saves his people. And we are to preach, thus saith the Lord. And the hearers are to receive the word of God as it is from the word of God. And I pray that in the hearing of the word of God, that it's mixed with faith, that them that hear it. And yes, it's all by grace if we truly respond, but it's all completely our guilt if we only reject it. And my prayer is that you hear the glad tidings, that you believe that it comes with power in your heart, and that you become like these shepherds. Let us now go and see. I need to go. I need to see. There's an urgency. And we're just sinful ambassadors. But Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God proclaimed the gospel to you this morning. He unfeignedly calls you. And my friends, The gospel message came to sinful shepherds. It only comes to sinful people because there is none good people. We're all sinful. We're all sinful. That's who we all are. The gospel is also only received by sinful men who come to know they are sinful. We know we're sinful in our head, but we don't know it in our heart. And by nature, we say, nice to hear. It's Christmas. What a nice message. There's a Savior. But our hearts are absolutely closed. We hear it. We agree with it. We send messages to other people. Blessed Christmas. We even share a text maybe. And yet our hearts, are they still closed? By the work of the Holy Spirit, self-righteous sinners become lost and guilty against the law and the gospel. And notorious sinners who only want to live according to the world and fill their hearts with all kinds of pleasure become lost and guilty before a holy and just God, and their hearts are opened for the gospel. What is the only correct response to the glad tidings of the gospel? Did you hear me? What is the only correct God-glorifying response to the gospel, to the glad tidings? To be a lost sinner and to flee. To be like the shepherds. Let us now go and see that you lose everything in self and that you go to see that only shepherd, that only Savior, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, may we lay our hearts beside the good shepherds. May we learn from the shepherds. And I pray today that for the first time or again, you may be like the shepherds by God's grace. Let us now go and see. True faith, the hearing of the words. And by the application of the Holy Spirit, there's faith in the Word, in the Word, in the Word that became flesh. And this true faith causes action. There comes action. My friend, it's a blessing. It's a great blessing to hear the gospel. To hear the gospel, but we need more. It's not enough to only hear. We need it in our hearts. We need it to be applied by the power of the Holy Spirit so it takes effect, effectual in our hearts, and it captures our whole heart. What did James write about it? That we were not only hearers, but that we become doers. Become doers. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. No, we're not saved by works. That's not what he's speaking about. But he's saying the only true work that glorifies God is faith in his Son. My friend, the preaching of the gospel, has it had effect in your heart? Has it had effect in your heart? Out of that effect, has there come actions? What actions? The first action is through the preaching of the gospel. Sinners are born again. They're made alive. And they receive this action. They are passive. They receive it. But by that regeneration, we read in the canons of Dort, and in consequence of this becomes itself active. Canons of Dort, 3rd and 4th head, Article 12. So what actions? Do you repent of your sin? Do you flee from all sin? Do you obey the gospel? Do you flee to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it in your heart, now let us go and see? Or are you only a hearer? Or by God's grace, have you become a doer? The shepherds did not only hear the word of God, but they became, by God's grace, they believed it. And by believing it, they also became doers. There was action. By faith in the gospel in Jesus Christ caused action. That true life causes action. Remember the prodigal son? He came to himself and there was actions. He had to leave that place of sin and he wanted to go back to his father confessing his sin. There's action by the grace received. And what action do we only have by nature? And that's our guilt. The Lord says repent and we don't repent. And the Lord says believe and we don't believe. He unfeignedly calls us by the gospel and we only reject it. And my friend, it's sin to sin against the Ten Commandments. But it's also a great sin, to the sin of unbelief. Unbelief in the gospel. It's a great sin. And these sinful men, the shepherds, heard the message of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They heard it. They believed it. They believed the message. And they responded, let us now go and see. Let us seek that Savior of sinners. Let us seek Christ the Lord. Notice they heard. And what was the immediate reaction? Immediately they spoke, let us now go and see. Look in your Bibles. What does it say? What does it say in that verse? Let us now go. Now, immediately. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait. They did not reason. Is this really true? Do you think so? Do you think that's really, you think it's really possible in Bethlehem the Savior is now born? No, you hear nothing of that discussion. They heard it. They received it by God's grace, yes, and they believed it. No, they did not wait until the morning. They could not just go to sleep. They didn't even worry about their sheep anymore. No, they heard, they believed, and they went. What does this tell us about their hearts? It tells us there was an urgency. There was an urgency which they could only have fulfilled in finding that Savior, that only Savior. They said, let us now go. They couldn't wait. They had to go. There was urgency. My friend, do you know something of knowing by the law you're guilty, of hearing the gospel, and then the response, by God's grace, let us now go. Is there urgency? Urgency. By the work of the Holy Spirit, sinners have an urgency. They need to go. They need to seek Him. They need to find Him. The Word of God doesn't only tell us about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, but the Word of God also tells us of the way of salvation, of the only way. But it also tells us where we can find Him. Remember the shepherds? They were told, you can find Him. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's lying in a manger. They were told. And the Lord also tells His people that His Son is the only way, that He's the Savior, but also where they can find Him. Remember what the angels spoke to them? They said, He didn't say, if you go, you will find Him. No, they said, ye shall find the babe. The angels are messengers from the Almighty God. They proclaimed the gospel. They proclaimed that He's in a manger and that they shall find Him. They believed as messengers of the Almighty God. Because of that message of the Almighty God would be proclaimed to these shepherds, that they would hear it, that they would believe it, and what else? They didn't tell Him to go and find Him, to seek Him. No, they said, ye shall find Him. They knew also that these men would also seek that babe, that they would seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, the shepherds were not only hearers, they became doers by the application of the Holy Spirit. Let's read about hearers and doers, what we read in James. Open your Bible to James, and we will read James chapter 1, verse 22 and through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. And think of the shepherds hearing and what happened, and think of yourself. James 1, 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth there, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And so, congregation, the Lord has proclaimed the glad tidings unto you. You are a hearer.
But have you become a doer? Have you become a doer? The Lord says, forsake sin. Have you forsaken sin? Are you cutting off sin? The Lord says, repent. Are you repenting? But the Lord says more. The Lord says, I proclaim unto you my Son. And he says, we are called to believe in his Son, to believe in the record that God gives of his Son. And if we do not believe the record that God gives of his Son, we are calling God a liar, a great wicked sin of unbelief. This evening, the Lord Jesus Christ says again, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You heard it this morning. You can hear it again tonight. What is your response? No, don't look at your neighbor. Examine your own heart. Your own heart. May I ask you, what have you done with the gospel? How old are you? Are you over 60? How many times have you heard the gospel? Are you over 40? How many times have you heard the gospel? How old are you? 20? How many times have you heard the gospel? Teenagers, how many times have you heard the law and the gospel? And has there come an urgency? By the hearing of the law have you become guilty, and by the gospel you heard it. And in your heart, let us now go and see, is there an urgency? My friend, does the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, have an effect in your heart, in your life? Have you, of a lost sinner, become a seeker of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still living in unbelief? Unbelief who you are. Unbelief of the gospel. Unbelief against everything. Trying to defend yourself, maybe even with many true doctrines. Maybe saying, the Lord has to do it all. And yes, the Lord has to do it all. It's all by free and sovereign grace. But have we become guilty? We can't hide behind that. It's true. We can't hide behind that. The Lord sincerely proclaims law and gospel. He calls. He speaks. Repent. Believe. What is the response? You need to be honest with yourself, my friend. Please, be honest. No more excuses. May you lose all the fig leaves trying to defend yourself. We're guilty by the law, but we're also guilty against the gospel. And the Lord says in his word, seek ye me and ye shall live. And these shepherds heard and they said, let us now go and see. Let us now go. And the Lord says in his word, sincerely, Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't try to defend against yourself against the law. But don't try to defend yourself also against unbelief against the gospel. But maybe you ask, where can I find him? They were told he was in a manger. Where can I find him? Where can you find him? You can find him in the manger of his word. He's here. May it come that you hear the word of God. Do you become guilty by the gospel and you hear the word and you go and now let us see. You open the Bible, you search, you read the scriptures, you look, you search for that Savior, and may you beg him, Lord, reveal him unto me by the power of the Holy Spirit that I may see him. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in John 5 verse 39, search the scriptures. Do you search the scriptures? Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so we come to the end of our first thought. They heard the glad tidings. How did they respond? By God's grace, by the application of the Holy Spirit, that message came with power. It didn't only come in their ears, it went right into their heart. And their response was, let us now go and see. There came an urgency. My friend, on Christmas, is there urgency to find this babe in the manger? Are you, with these shepherds, going to see, searching the scriptures? Let us sing now from Psalter 188. Psalter 188, stanzas 1 and 3. 188, 1 and 3. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 188, 1 and 3, standing.
Our second thought, hastening and finding. We read in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. My friend, by nature, no sinner is a seeker for the Lord Jesus Christ with their whole heart. No haste, no urgency. Hearing the law, not becoming guilty. Hearing the glad tidings, the best news that we could hear. And no going, seeking, and finding. Nothing. And that's our guilt. And yet we read in the Word of God in Psalm 119 verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Born again sinners become lost sinners. Become lost. Lost in self. Cut off of everything. And become seekers for one to reconcile them unto God. And by the gospel, the precious gospel, they hear of one. That's the only way back to God. That only one is through Jesus Christ. That Savior, Christ our Lord. That precious Savior. And they begin to seek Him. Let us now go. But they go with haste. They must go with haste to find Him. They need to find Him. Will sinners who seek the Lord Jesus Christ with their whole heart, will they find Him? Will they find Him? Will He reveal Himself unto them? Yes. Because it's His work. It's His work. And the Lord promises in His Word that by grace sinners will be born again. And that by grace sinners become lost. And lost sinners become seekers, and they will seek Him with their whole heart. They will come with haste, and seekers with urgency, with haste, will find Him. Open your Bible to Jeremiah 29, verse 13. There we read the precious promise of God. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Is this you? Or are you seeking half-hearted and you say, I never find? It's your guilt. You need to be honest. Search your heart. Is there a go and see? Is there an urgency? Is there a haste for your soul? Are you truly seeking Him with your whole heart? Or are you seeking Him partially and hanging on to the world? Knowing some sin and not wanting to get rid of it. And then you say, He never reveals Himself. I can't find Him. Search your heart tonight. Did the shepherds, did they find Him? Yes, they found Him. We read in Luke 2 verse 16, and they came with haste. You can see those men coming, going, let us now go. And I can imagine them going quite quickly. There's haste. There's urgency in their heart. And they go rapidly. They want to find that manger. They want to find that child. They want to find the Savior. They want to find Christ the Lord. They need Him. And they came with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe. And the babe lying in the manger. Sometimes I have a question. I want to insert something here. I have a question. They ask me, how lost do I need to be? Is that you? How lost do I need to be? How much misery do I need to know? What's the answer? Is there a certain ruler? You need to know so much? You know how much you need to know? You know how much misery you need to know? How lost you need to become that you become like these shepherds? That you become so lost? And that you hear the gospel and it comes with power. And now let us now go. And there's haste to seek Him with your whole heart. That there's an urgency for that only Savior. These sinful shepherds, they heard. They had to find Him. There was haste. There was urgency. And they came with haste. That means they came quickly. They had a deep desire in their heart. Haste to find Him. They needed to find Him. No, they were not just satisfied sitting in the church hearing the gospel and say, that's nice, wonderful news. No. They weren't just satisfied with hearing a beautiful choir. No. The glad tidings came with power in their heart and there came seeking.
They came with haste. Then they had to find him. They had to find that babe. They had to find a savior for their soul. They needed the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't live without him anymore. So how much misery do you need to know? How lost do you need to become that you cannot live without him anymore? That you need to find him and him only. My friend, does your heart and your life describe the shepherds? The shepherds. Is this your life? As a guilty, lost sinner, is your only hope. Your only hope. Nothing in self no more. Nothing in your experience. Nothing in your good works. Nothing in all in self. It's all hopeless. It's all polluted. It's all insufficient. But is your only hope, as in these shepherds, they had to haste and find that Savior. Has the word of God brought you to a need in your life for the Savior? Have you come to that point in your life? Give me Jesus or I die. That's what it comes to. That's what it comes to. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Misery is taught to teach us of our great need, to make us guilty, lost before a holy God, to make preparation. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Because we only can be delivered not by our misery. We can only be delivered by that Savior that was born in that manger on Christmas. How did the shepherds get to Bethlehem? How did they find the baby? We don't know. We don't know. The Bible's silent. Maybe they went through the town. Where's the babe? And the people looked at him. What? Where's that babe lying in the manger? What? A babe in the manger? We don't know. But we may believe God guided them. God guided them to that manger. God guides sinners today not to go to Bethlehem, not to look in the manger, but to search for him in his word. And the Holy Spirit, his blessed work, is to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, sin against the law, sin against the gospel, and his other blessed work. Yes, that's a blessed work. Preparation for the Savior. But his other blessed work, we read in John 16, verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Are you searching? Is your response, let us now go and see? Is there haste? Do you need to find him? Beg him. Holy Spirit, reveal him unto me. I can't see him. My eyes are blind by sin and darkened by all my foolishness and sin. Open my eyes and through the word show me that Savior. What drew these shepherds to that manger? The message of who he is for them. That he's a Savior, Christ the Lord. What caused them to truly seek that Savior? By the power of the Holy Spirit. They heard a Savior was born. A Savior. And they were sinners. They needed that Savior that drew them to the manger. Have you been drawn? Have you been drawn to seek with haste, with urgency, that only Savior? As a guilty, lost sinner before a holy God. And the shepherds found him. Let's picture that. Congregation, you see those shepherds in the middle of the night going, hasting, maybe even running. Running to that town. Where is he? Wherever he was. That they found him. And then see them by that manger. We read, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe. Oh, if they did not find that babe, then they'd have to keep seeking. But they found him. They found him. Can you see him standing by that manger? Looking into that manger, seeing that little baby? Oh, it's beautiful to see a baby, isn't it? It's so beautiful. Those little hands, little feet, nose, head, all perfect. A wonderful work of God and creation. But to look at this babe, my friend, to look at this child, this Savior, to see not only a child, because they didn't only see a child, they saw with their eyes, their physical eyes, a child, but with the eye of faith, they saw him that was born, the Savior, Christ the Lord. They looked upon that child with faith, seeing who? Just a baby? No, they saw a Savior. That unspeakable gift of God. They saw Christ the Lord. And could you imagine them standing there, looking with awe? Maybe they even went on their knees, we don't know. We can't put things in the Bible, but you can imagine with adoration, they sank to their knees, worshiping that precious child. It's him. Could you imagine them speaking to each other? How many were there? I don't know. But could you imagine? It's him. Look, it's him. It's him whom that angel told us about, the messenger from the Almighty God. It's him. It's the Savior. It's Christ the Lord. This is the promised Messiah who came to save and seek wretched sinners. They came with haste. They found him. They believed in him. They believed in him. What joy must have filled their hearts. All these shepherds must have had such a blessed Christmas day looking into the manger. And we can't look in the manger anymore. We don't need to. But have you, through the word of God, the manger of Christ, have you seen him? Have you gone with haste? Let us now go and see. And has the Lord revealed him? Remember, child of God, the first time you saw a little something of the Savior, what joy filled your heart. What absolute, unspeakable joy. Nothing in self, but just to be able through the word to see him, a Savior. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, and that came with power. What joy filled the heart. Or you could jump over a barn. You could be filled with such joy because of him, of who he is. And there's so much to say of him because he's the wonderful counselor. He's the everlasting father, the prince of peace. He's the savior for sinners. And when you see something of him, then you want to see more. The shepherds looked in the manger. And they didn't only see a baby. They saw God in the flesh. Did they understand everything? We don't know. But in that manger was God in the flesh. And God is love. And Jesus Christ is the express image of God. He's the express image of God. And now listen to what we read. In 1 John 4 verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through him. My friend, do you understand? Do you know something of that life of the shepherds? Hearing the law and becoming guilty. Hearing the gospel. And then it came with power. Power in your heart. Let us now go. And there was haste. Haste. You came to church so different, longing to see something of that Savior for sinners, longing to see that child, longing to see him who is Lord of lords and King of kings, but longing to see something of that mediator, longing to see something of that Redeemer through the preaching of the word, and that faith was an exercise, and that you may see him. If you've seen him, joy will fill your heart, joy that you've never, ever had before. How do we know if we've seen him? How do we know? Well, then we come to our last thought. Seeing, proclaiming, and glorifying. These shepherds saw him. They saw that babe in the manger. They saw the Savior Christ, the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. He had to come. He had to come for these shepherds. He has to come for sinners. Why? Because no man can reconcile himself with God. He had to come to bring back what man has ruined in paradise. And we must be righteous, and we are unrighteous. And he came to fulfill that righteousness. And we must pay. And he came to pay. And we need it all. But he came to be that all, to be the complete Savior. And we left God in our rebellion. And by nature, we will carry on in our life. But God seeks, God saves. God worked in these men. All the glory to God. No glory to the shepherds. No glory to God's children. It's all of free and sovereign grace. All the glory to God. And yet, it's all our guilt if we go lost. And we say, that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, that's the word of God. It's all the glory to God. These men became seekers with urgency. They found him. And how do we know they found him? How do we know if we've truly seen him and found him? Then we also have something of what the shepherds also had. What do we read in Luke 17? And when they had seen it, They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They had seen what the Lord had said through the message of the angel. They had seen the child. And how do they go from that manger? How do they go? You can see them walking and they tell other people. They tell other people. What are we reading in verse 17? And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. That means that they just had to tell everybody they met, we've seen the child. The Messiah is coming. They made known abroad. They had to. Their hearts were so full, they couldn't keep it in. They had to share what they saw, what they had experienced in the child. That the Lord had proclaimed it, that they sought him, and they found him. Their love for his name opened their mouth, and their love for those among whom they lived also caused them to open their mouth, so that they also may hear the message, and through the message that it may be blessed by the power of the Spirit, that they may believe it, and that they also may respond, let us now go and see, and that there would be haste in their hearts, and that they would seek, and those that seek him with their whole heart, that they may find him, that they may know him, and that they may also worship him. But what else? What else takes place in that heart of those who see something of that Savior? Let's read verse 20 now. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were glorifying and praising God. True faith humbles. And they weren't speaking about themselves. I this and I that. I experienced. No, they were glorifying God. They were speaking about him, of his wonderful works, of that precious Savior, of that precious Savior of sinners. Their hearts were a little like the angels. Glory to God in the highest. And so we come to the end. It's the end of this day. It's the end of Christmas. And my friend, may I ask you, you heard the good news. You've heard the law. Have you become guilty? You've heard the good news. How many times? What is the effect in your heart? Are you still hardening your heart? Are you still rejecting? Or is there some life? Maybe just a cry, just a sigh. Lord, come, save this wretched sinner. You can't give any name to yourself, but you have no more hope in self. You're longing, you're waiting for him to come to visit you, to speak peace to your soul. You're opening the Bible, you're searching for him. You're seeking him with haste and urgency. Oh, when will he come? When will he reveal himself? And maybe you say, I have absolutely no faith. You can't give credit to anything. But is your life like these shepherds? Is this your heart? Is this your life? By the blessing, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ says in Proverbs 8, verse 35 and 36, for whoso findeth me findeth life. Find who? The Lord Jesus Christ. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. You've heard the gospel again. What is your response? Are you just continuing on? Or will it bring you to your knees, begging, seeking with urgency, hasting, longing to find, and no rest until you may see through the manger the word of God of that precious Savior? And when you find him, and when you see him, when he reveals himself by the power of the Holy Spirit, then there will also be that absolute joy. It will cause glorifying and praising him. My friend, in him is life, and without him is only death. Seek that Savior, and in him, he says, ye shall find life and favor with God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we don't want to become guilty and lost. We will do everything to defend ourselves. We will even use the doctrines of thy precious word. But, oh, we beg thee that unbelievers may become guilty sinners and come home and beg thee, Lord, that grace thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto me. That grace that the shepherds have, may I also have that same grace. And confess, Lord, I've heard the good tidings, but I've never ever sought that precious child. And oh, we beg thee also remember those who have been made alive, who are seeking with haste. Oh, at that time may they also find thee, Lord, that thou would reveal themselves and comfort them with who thou art, with thy person, as that precious Savior of sinners. Lord, we ask that thou would guide us and keep us in the rest of this week. May we again come into thy house on thy day. Give opening to preach the precious gospel. Give opening of ears to hear. Enlighten minds to understand, but also hearts. Blessed by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be, by thy grace, like these shepherds, seeking thee and having no rest until we find. Lord, we beg it for the glory of thy name, and may we acknowledge thee for thy help to preach and to listen. For without thee, we can do nothing. May it all be to the honor, to the glory of thy name, and to the coming of thy kingdom, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing now in closing Psalter 254, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. 254, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. O come before the Lord our King, and in his presence let us sing. Let us in glad and joyful lays the rock of our salvation praise. 254, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5.
dear congregation. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.